Which GAO comptroller general in all those years was your favorite?
That's a tough. I served under one, two, three, four during that time. Let me say they were all different, and they all had a number of extreme, high qualities, excellent leaders. But they all were different. And one of the things that I learned over my career is you want to be flexible and you want to adjust to the qualities of your leadership. And so I learned a lot from all of them. I think they were all quite outstanding.
And how about on the congressional side? A lot of people in Congress, especially in the House, it seems, have had an abiding interest in IT. Going back to Jack Brooks, anyone stand out in your mind in particular?
One that does jump out, I think, is the former chairman, Tom Davis, who's chairman of the Government Reform Committee. I mean, he was very, very active in IT reform in the government, and I had an opportunity to work with him and to testify before him many times. But there have been a number of chairmen who have been advocates of information technology, and rightfully so, because frankly, the way you're going to transform government, just like the way you're going to transform any organizations, is through leveraging IT as a force multiplier and as an asset, a strategic asset that's going to allow you to do things better, faster, smarter. As it has been over the 30 years, as it's going to be, going forward, IT is going to be integral to the federal government's ability to deliver services to the citizens.
Now, talking about technology briefly, you can probably remember back before the PC was a ubiquitous item on federal desktops.
I definitely can.
And that's one of the technology changes you probably were referring to earlier. What's been the profoundest effect of that, do you think?
Well, I think it's the ability to acquire and share information. I think when I started and things were exclusively manual, except for the mainframe processing for transactions that occurred back in that day, and so the amount of information that you were receiving and therefore expected to be aware of and integrating in your head was relatively small compared to what it is now. Now you get inundated with information. So the challenge is to be able to sort through all that information that you have and be able to identify those things that are most relevant and most needed in order to execute your particular mission within the government. And there are more and more tools now, automated tools, that are helping people to do that. But the difference between now and then relative to the amount of information that you are receiving is night and day.
And now we have mobility coming to so many federal workers. It started with a cell phone, but then that expanded to BlackBerry-type devices where you could get email. And now the next generation can do almost anything. Do you think the government will do a good job of inculcating that technology in such a way that it stays safe but also increases productivity?
I think it will, and I think it has. And you're right, that's an excellent example of how things have changed. The upside of that is that you're never away from the information that you need in order to do your job. Now, from my personal perspective, there's a downside to that too. And basically, you were potentially working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that takes a toll on people, not just in the federal workforce, but in the private sector as well. I can't tell you how many times you may be out at a youth sporting event or coaching kids, and I'm pulling out my BlackBerry.
Oh, you're one of those, huh?
There's a game too, and I'm conducting work there. So it borders on ridiculous at some points in time, but that's the way of life. That's the way things are nowadays.
We're speaking with Randy Height just days after his retirement as Director of Information Technology Architecture and Systems Issues at the GAO. And so what's next for Randy Height?
Going forward, I decided that in retirement, I do want to keep working, but I don't want to work a full-time job anymore. After 33 years, you feel like you deserve a break. So I'm going to be doing part-time consulting. I'm going to start my own firm, and I'm looking forward to it. I've actually been humbled and overwhelmed by the number of organizations, public and private sector, who have contacted me asking me for my services. So I think one of my biggest challenges is going to be to set a limit on what it is I'm going to do so that I can hold fast to that desire to work part-time and be able to spend more time with my kids.
Well, make sure you set a ceiling on the amount of work, but also a floor under what you charge.
I'm willing to take advice on that. One of the hardest things in doing this, and I've talked to a lot of people about it, is to try to understand what your worth or what your value is. I have no concept of that, having worked in the government all my career. It's really very difficult, thinking back over 30 years, what's happened here, what's happened there. A lot has transpired.
But you've enjoyed it.
I've told people too that I'm very blessed by the opportunities that I've had, and to be in a position that I am now.